In your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We're looking specifically at verses 22 through 24. But I think what I want to do is I want to read that whole section so that as we're talking about wives, that you have in mind also those instructions to husbands. He starts out, "Wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." So as we begin this morning, I want to put forward a disclaimer. I've changed the format a little bit. Instead of trying to exegete the passage and write out word for word, I make an outline, and I've sort of limited the outline. There's a danger in doing that because pastors like to talk. So, yeah. So I got my clock, and just to sort of warn you, I may get through the introduction today. So bear with me, and I do want to take my time through this entire passage because there's just a whole lot here and a whole lot to be thinking about, and I'm going to be sharing that with you as well. The wife's walk. Why do I say the wife's walk? Well, I want to trace a little bit of what I've done. If you have your Bibles and they're open, then you flip back a couple of pages and you look at chapter 2, verse 10. And this talks about the salvation that is ours and what Christ accomplished on our behalf, and also in terms of its intention for our lives. And verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and for this purpose, that we would walk in them." That we would walk in these good works. And I think, starting at chapter 4, if you flip back to chapter 4, verse 1, that's what he picks up on. This is the beginning of the good works that we are to exercise in terms of our walk with the Lord. And so right away in chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." We've been talking about the gospel call on your life, which is the gate through which you enter into a new course of life. And so in verse 17 of chapter 4, Paul says, "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." the beginning of chapter 4, and even in chapter 2, the first two verses, or first three verses, talked about the course of the walk for the unbeliever and the course he was on. And now the believer is called to a new course of life, to change from this course belonging to the world and the prince of the power of the air to this new course that Christ establishes for us through the cross. Not as the nations, not as the unbelieving Gentiles in the futility of their mind and so forth. Then in chapter 5, verse 2, actually verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God. We were introduced to this overarching theme of the divine pattern, that we are called upon to be imitators of God, but in so doing, the implications of being an imitator of God is to identify the divine pattern that we are to follow and walk in that, because that is the course that is set before us when we walk through the gate to the gospel call. One of the issues then in verse 2 is the love of Christ, the divine pattern, not determined by how the world says what love is, but in terms of what God sets forth for love. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. This especially comes back in terms of husbands that we read just now, in terms of this passage, who gave himself up for us. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, you see. The divine pattern. Verse 8, you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. The light of God is the divine pattern. Walk in that course set before you. What that light entails and everything about it. And then one more before we get to the passage directly. In verse 15 of chapter 5, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, that is, not as the unwise in terms of the nations, the Gentiles, who have no consideration for what God says whatsoever, but instead walk as wise, following the course the Lord sets before you. With all of that, and all of that feeding into this first phrase, wives to your own husbands, I call it the wife's walk. What is she specifically to look at and identify as the divine pattern and follow therein? We have to cut through the clutter of modern thinking imposed upon the Bible. If we're going to talk about the wife's walk, there's a clutter of modern thinking imposed upon the Bible. So, I have a quiz prepared for you. Every once in a while, you know, I have to quiz you. I don't think it's a hard quiz, but you see what you think. Now remember, here we're thinking about cutting through the clutter of modern thinking imposed upon the Bible. The world says, oh, it's an ancient document. Why should we have to follow it? In other words, I don't think God really is the author of it, and therefore I'm going to ignore his authority in my life. So with that, I've got about 12 of them here. I'm not going to do all of them. So true or false, you have a 50% chance. You can guess right all of them. You'll do fine. Question number one, true or false, the Bible defends the patriarchy as modern thought determines it. True or false? True or false? The wife submitting to her husband is on the same level as slavery. True or false? Oh, you're just going to get to that one right away. Okay. Oh, here's a good one, I think. In the Bible, because of the patriarchy, the wife never gets a choice regarding whom she will marry. True or false? Three. Oh, I'm running out of good. There's so many. I may give more than five or six. True or false? Okay, here. Yeah. It's Father's Day. True or false? The Bible gives permission for husbands to be bossy. True or false? Let's see. Well, I've already sort of suggested this one, so I'll go with it. No, maybe I'll leave it for next week. And that way you'll forget about it between now and then. True or false? The Bible forbids a husband to help clean the house. Now you laugh, but these are all things hinted at by the world seeking to impose it upon the Bible, saying, this is what the Bible says or teaches. Shall we do one more? True or false? The pastor is only giving us this quiz because it's Father's Day. Do you want the answers now or at the end? At the end. Okay. Remind me if when I'm closing up I forget to mention if, you know, they're all false, all true, some false. Okay. All right. Secondly, we have to do our best to understand what the Lord really says about wives and husbands. There is a lot of misconceptions out there about roles and what the Bible really says, and you got a little bit of a taste of that in our quiz. I'm going to share a little bit. Yeah, I think we're going to not get through the introduction. I'm going to share a little bit about a little over a year ago. One of our families was informed that LifePoint was closing. And we thought, or I thought, that is a very, very difficult thing to go through. I couldn't imagine that kind of thing happening. Dan Munson and I had a couple of different conversations, and he talked about this thing that went on at LifePoint called Coffee Connection. I said, well, yeah, I should probably go, and I can meet some of the people at least. We invited the whole church. I don't know how many people were attending there, but we invited the whole church. We invited them to a lunch afterwards, and so Coffee Connection was meeting. It was Thursday mornings, and I thought, well, I just got to make sure I get things done, and I'll head over there. I don't think I was early, but I don't think I was real late, and I came in with a box of donuts and brought them back to the kitchen and met Dave and Rose. And we visited a bit about what's going on and the things happening, and I went out and I sat down. Of course, as I walked in, who is this? So I introduced myself. I did know Joyce. Joyce was there, and so I introduced myself, and we visited and brought the donuts in and so on, and continued to get to know the people, get to know you. Then there was going to be the last Coffee Connection before the last service, and then the following week, we were inviting Coffee Connection to come meet here because they didn't know for sure how that was going to work out, and they decided to do so. And so at the last Coffee Connection, I brought in a box of donuts again. I'm not very original. And continued to visit and get to know people. And then toward the end of Coffee Connection, people were getting up and we were sort of milling around. And I was asked a fateful question by someone who will remain unnamed, and whether they were male or female, I'm not going to say either. This person walked right up to me. I do think they introduced themselves first and shook hands, and then out came this question: what position do you hold to for marriage? And I thought, I'm just here getting to know people. I did not know I was going to be quizzed. Are you complementarian or egalitarian? What would you answer? Don't tell. Well, my response was, and I thought this was good, what does the Bible say? That's what I was after. What does the Bible say? I might say it different now that we've been in Ephesians for a while. Maybe the right question would have been, what is the divine pattern for marriage? What does the Bible say about the divine pattern for marriage? Then this person quoted Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. They left off in the fear of Christ, just submit to one another. And I said, well, it's true, the Bible does say that. But then I asked a question in response, and I said, well, but what else does it say? Is that the complete picture that we go by in terms of husbands and wives? By asking this question of me, I knew this person's position and was really pushing it on me. And we talked a little bit more. This person elaborated a little bit on how men and women are equal and they are to fully collaborate on things. And I said, well, what do you do when you're at an impasse? Well, you keep making collaboration until you get it figured out. And I said, well, what if there's a time constraint? And what I found interesting, not that this person couldn't have done it. I'm sure they could have done it. But there was really no more scripture that this person offered to me. I thought, here you are at the end of Coffee Connection, springing this question upon me with hardly any time left, and you want this full-orb biblical theological response about husbands and wives. So I think it's a very appropriate question to ask. What does the Bible say, really? What does it say? And see, here's where the answers you gave for the quiz come to bear. Are you thinking in terms of what the world says? Or are you thinking in terms of, I want to learn and I have a good idea of what the Bible says? You see, the God who designed marriage as that fundamental institution at the very beginning knows all about it, and He has shared with us what that is all about. And as I thought about it more, I thought, well, surely there are culturally specific situations to Paul's day. There are certainly things that he suggested that were more applicable to his time during intense persecution when he said, it might be best if you remain as I am, single and so on. But it's not a sin to marry. But that's maybe more culturally specific, or maybe a warning that during high times of persecution, maybe singleness is a good thing. However, we still must look for the underlying principles and practices applicable to us. And not everything that talks about marriage and husbands and wives falls into this culturally specific category. Sometimes there are commands and practices that Paul sets forth, or the Word sets forth, that we are to embrace and follow as the divine pattern. It is not my intention, just to get this straight, it's not my intention to pull from every passage about husbands and wives. I dealt with husbands and wives in our look at 1 Peter. We're now looking at it in terms of Ephesians, but there's much more as well, but nothing contradicts. So what we find here isn't going to contradict something else. So unfortunately, we're not looking at a full-orbed review of all applicable Scripture. And the question that we are asking is, what about wives? We're only going to be able to get started on this, I think. And we'll finish up next week. What about wives? What about the wife's walk in the home toward her husband? The emphasis in the text is the relationships that are sustained within a home. Wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves, masters. How are we to view all of this? What are we to make of all of this? What kind of structure is there to be in the home? And I think, more firmly now than ever, the household, in order to thrive, must follow the divine pattern set forth for the family, especially the wife-husband relationship. If the wife and husband fails, then the family fails. That's a given. That's for sure. With the caveat, by God's grace, even in the worst of marriages, God still saves children. And they know the Lord, and it's magnificent and it's miraculous. The walk of the wife, or the wife's walk in the home, is centered on the phrase "to their own husbands." That's a literal translation. How do we fill in what Paul is getting at here? Well, we have to fill in from the immediate context surrounding it. Wives to your own husbands. Well, what had he just said in verse 21. You can translate it variously, being subject, be subject, be submitting, be arranging yourselves under one another in the fear of Christ, and so forth. All of that would get the hint at what he's saying in verse 21. I was curious where the main verb was in all of this. And I traced it back to chapter 5, verse 18. So from 22, you go back to verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the imperative. And it is that imperative verb that carries through the rest of the passage, including wives. So, be filled with the Spirit, verse 19, of a participle, speaking to yourselves, singing, another participle, imperative sense, psalming with the heart, imperative participle sense, giving thanks, an imperative participle sense, being subject, participle imperative sense, the wives to their own husbands. And so all of this carries forward clear from verse 18 on into verse 22. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, verse 22. What does that look like in the home? Wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's how we get there. What does it mean? Well, it does not mean that he's speaking about an inferior to superior relationship. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about or identifying any kind of inequality in the home. All of that goes out the window. If you take what modern thinking is, especially today in our society, and they read that, they read it differently than you are supposed to read it. And so we chuckled at some of the true-false questions I asked, but that's the world imposing its thinking and what they think the Bible means by all of that. But what it does mean is to, and I love the word, either rank or arrange under. Wives, arrange yourself under your own husband as to the Lord. Now I want to make note here because modern thought about what the relationships of men and women are like in terms of what they think the Bible says, They impose it, and they think we're saying that wives are to arrange themselves under all men. But notice it doesn't say that. And notice it doesn't say that wives are to arrange themselves under all husbands. It doesn't say that either. It says to your own husband. To your own husband. So there is a familial structure to which Paul ascribes to here, and it is specific to families. And Paul provides structure throughout this passage for families. And this is fundamental and bedrock of all society. And I think, you know why families crumble? Because husbands and wives have a difficult time embracing the divine pattern. And once that most fundamental of relationships is ruined or is imposed upon by the outside world and said, well, this is what it really means, when it doesn't say that at all, then we run into trouble. And I think we are in trouble. We don't even know what a family is. Well, Yeah, there's that famous question, what is a woman? And that famous response during a hearing, well, I'm not a biologist, so I can't tell you. What? We used to be able to, you see. I would suggest that when this structure is undermined, the family is undermined, and society of necessity would collapse. Maybe we can get through this second point here under this first major point. What about wives? So he offers up a comparison for us to get a greater understanding of what that's about and what that looks like. What does that look like? Wives, arrange yourselves under your husbands. What does it look like? What's it built upon? He uses the phrase, as to the Lord. That's a big, big time comparison. What he's saying here is that the wife's arranging herself under her husband is like unto arranging herself under the Lord, as to the Lord. Wives are to look to the Lord when she deals with her husband. How would I respond to the Lord, you see? He is ultimate. Right? We've been saying that for weeks. Do we all agree that he has all authority and power given to him? Do we agree that all things will be subjected to him, or that all things are subjected to him? But somehow, when we come up against this, we sort of bristle at the idea. But this is what the divine pattern is all about, as to the Lord. And we're going to see it more fully next time. As if to the Lord himself. See, what the husband and wife relationship really hinges on is their view of Christ. That's what it really hinges on. The question to answer at this point is, what is my view of Christ? What is my attitude toward Him? Do I have a problem arranging myself, ranking myself, being subject to Him? You see, what is it that the church seeks to do? What are believers of all ages called to do? Honor God and live out thankful lives before our God. That's what He calls us to do. Wives specifically here, but also husbands. We're going to get to husbands. Wives specifically here, as to the Lord. To the degree that you seek to honor Christ, to that degree you will be arranging yourself toward your husband, arranging yourself under your husband. We're going to get to the why next week, but because we're going to run out of time. Well, we're going to run out of time. Unless you want to keep going for another half hour. But let me add this. It brings us back to the original intent of marriage before the fall. The divine pattern, the original divine pattern. That's what it's all about. The fall marred that relationship. So much so that it hints there in Genesis 3 that there would be this power struggle dynamic between husbands and wives that is only resolved in Jesus Christ, as to the Lord. humanity has most definitely corrupted the divine pattern for marriage. And in Christ, it is restored. So I said I'd go back to the quiz, right? I think I checked the ones that we looked at here. I heard you pretty loud and clear on some of these. The first one, I didn't hear much of a response. The Bible defends the patriarchy. True or false? You're quiet. True or false? Just say it. You know the answer. You're shy now. You know why you can't answer that? Because you're thinking too much like the world and what you hear others say about the Bible. Does the Bible defend the patriarchy? The answer is a clear false. It is false. It does not defend what modern thinking says about what patriarchy and everything else is. The wife submitting to her husband is on the same level as slavery. You said false. False is correct. In the Bible, the wife never gets a choice regarding who she will marry. True or false? False. The answer is false. You know how I know that? And how you should know that? Who? Isaac's wife. When the chief steward of Abraham's household was sent to find a wife, he went to the house and he said, "Lord, show me who it is you'd have me bring home to my master." And he's praying, and as he's praying, out comes Rebecca, and they talk, and they're talking back and forth. And the key portion of that passage is her father and her brother ask her, "Are you willing to go with this man?" She could have said no. Are you willing? That's why in a marriage ceremony, we stand up and, "Are you willing?" Who gives this woman, right? Father says, "I do," or her mother and I. Are you willing to have this woman? Are you willing to have this man? So even then, if you're not willing, and I know there's a lot of pressure during a ceremony, if you had any doubts, you should say, "No, I'm not willing. I'm just, yeah." In other words, the women had a choice. To say that even in arranged marriages, they never had a choice, biblically speaking, is false. The Bible, this is a Father's Day talk. The Bible gives permission for husbands to be bossy. Does the Bible give permission for husbands to be bossy? True? Any truths out there? False. Who says false? That's right. Some of you were pretty eager in raising your hand to the false. But that's right. It is false. The Bible forbids a husband to help clean the house because that's the woman's job. I could have added that. True or false? True. Who said true? The answer is false. But I'm not going to get in the middle of anything. And then lastly, and we'll close with this, the pastor is only giving us this quiz because it's Father's Day. True or false? False. They're all false. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you allow your church, your people, to wrestle with the text. To really think hard and long about what the Bible really says about specific matters, and in particular, the relationship between husband and wife. And we know that the world has its way of thinking about these things, and it's wrong-headed. And we need to know what you say about it. And so we turn to your word. So encourage us, help us, encourage the wives out there to look to Christ, encourage the husbands out there to be thinking about ways in which they are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And may you grant success to your people as we follow the divine pattern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you some more quiz next week, so we'll see who's here or not. I shouldn't have said that,